We are on Daf Kof Chesem Rav 55. A few very interesting cases the Gemara comes up with tonight. Actually, none of them, as far as I recall, are anywhere in the Bavli. And we're up to Rabbi Avin, which is starting from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines down. The last word in the line is a resh. Okay? Have it? It's not germane.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be germane later on, but not right now. Rabbi Avin Shem Rabbanan. Rabbi Avin in the Shem Rabbanan Talmud. Rabbi Avin, in the name of the rabbis of Bavel, said, there's a fundamental machlokas, which is, even though it's brought in the name of rabbis of Bavel, it's not in the Bavli at all. El Chayari Beshus. If a guy goes down, the case I'm talking about here is a case where Reuven stole a field from Shimon, and Levi bought that field from Reuven, and then Levi enhances that field. Okay? Levi enhances the field. So what does Levi get? So normally we have the concept of, if you go down to your friend's field and enhance it without permission, they get whatever's less. Either you get your expenses back, or you get the improvement back. The enhancement, whatever's less, is what you get. Okay, so Rabbi Avin, name Rabban and Taman, said, here too, it's the same thing. Whatever Levi enhanced in the field, when Ein Lecha Yor Birshus, right? It is not. He didn't go down with permission. Therefore, Yodel Tachtoina Itzel Shimon. Literally, his hand is on the lower end, meaning he gets whatever's less from Shimon. Shimon is here, not the thief. Shimon is the. Is the person from whom it was stolen, right? So Shimon pays whatever is less in terms of Levi's expenditure or Levi's enhancement of the field. That's how Shimon reimburses Levi. Rabbi Yossi Rabun, Shem Rabbanan Tamon, Rabbi Yossi Rabun, the name Rabbanan over there, said a Kiddush though. He said, Ein l'cha yor birshus. Yes, it's true, he didn't get permission. But Yoda Yoina Lagab it's a Reuven. He goes back to the Gazlan. Reuven was the thief, and takes from the Reuven whatever's greater, either his expenses or the enhancements. Because it's true vis-a-vis Levi, the true owner, he's at a loss. His hand is lower, but vis-a-vis Reuven, who sold him the stolen field, he's at a high, and therefore he can get the higher sum.
In other words, he makes up the difference. Whatever he doesn't get from Shimon, he gets from Reuven.
Yeah, that's a good, I guess so. I assume he probably goes after Shimon first, and whatever he can't get from Shimon, he'll get from Reuven. That's probably the case. Like co-insurance, right. So you go after wherever you go, after the deeper pockets, right. But I assume first you're right. First you go to Shimon, and only afterwards to Reuven. Okay? Says more further. Reuven chugaz al shiz sadim Shimon. Now Reuven stole a field from Shimon, v'mechar Levi, and then Shimon sold that field to Levi. V'ach Levi, and Levi went in the sonam matana and gave it as a gift to Yehuda. Okay, so far so good. Reuven stole a field from Shimon. Reuven the thief went and sold the field to Levi. Levi then gave the field as a gift to Yehuda. Okay. So Ubar Shimon v'tar from Yehuda. Then Shimon came and grabbed it away from Yehuda. Shimon came and took the field back because it's his field, right? So he is entitled to do that. So Yehuda lo azil gabi Levi. Yehuda stuck. Yehuda can't go back and demand restitution from Levi di matana because he got it as a gift. Since he got it as a gift, so what is he going to demand, right? Levi azil gabi Reuven. However, Levi can go back to Reuven because vis-a-vis him dehi mechira, he bought it. Now, it's true he no longer has it, right? Because he gave it as a gift to Yehuda. But nevertheless, Levi can demand reparations from the thief Reuven, which is an amazing concept. Yeah, the halacha is like that. No, this is new. It's all brand new. So why is the halacha like that? Well, it's an amazing concept, right? I think explicitly, I bring down explicitly in the back, the Gilin Ephraim, I think, brings down where this is brought in halacha and Chosha Mishpat. So it is the halacha. It's because Yochel Meimar, Levi Azel Gabi Reuven, I don't know where it left off, but Yochel Azel Gabi Levi Dimatan, you can't go back to Levi because it was a gift to him. Levi also got Reuven the Himachir. Levi go back to him because it's was a sale to him. So there's more the obvious question, which we're all asking. Below Matana, Yevtina gave it away as a gift. What is he demanding? What restitution should he get? So Yochum Meimale could say, Boy Havina Meitanle, I wanted to give it to him, Yisham Litiva, and he'll pay me back with goodwill. The Nachas Ruach, which, yeah, in other words, if I give you a gift, you're going to, that causes you to have goodwill towards me. So I expect that some return I will eventually get, right? So if that's the case, Levi's saying, you caused me the loss of Yehuda's goodwill, which I would have gotten from him by giving a gift. You have to reimburse me for the goodwill I lost. Now, Yehuda doesn't get anything back from that. Yehuda's off the creek. But Levi can get reimbursed by Reuven, the thief, for the goodwill of Yehuda that he lost. What?
What if Yehuda, who received the gift, improves?
That's a good question. He'd probably go back to Shimon and get whatever's less.
And then,
but not, no, but that's it. The buck stops there. Because he didn't go that right. He never paid for it, so he can't go directly to Reuven and say, you owe me for the rest of it. So you probably go to Shimon, but he can't go back to Reuven the thief. Right. That's right. That's what it is in this case. So now, next case. Reuven goes outside of Shimon. Reuven stole a field from Shimon. Right? Sends a pattern. When the son of Matana Levi and Reuven, the thief himself, gave his gift to Levi. Right? In the opposite case here, Levi sold it to Yehuda. So Reuven gave his a gift, and Levi sold to Yehuda. Uvah Shimon v'tir from Yehuda, and Shimon came then and grabbed from Yehuda. So here that law is reversed. Yehuda has a gabu Levi. Yehuda goes to Levi and asks him for a gift for restitution. To umechara, because he sold it to him. And he has to therefore make he guarantees it. Levi loves the guy Reuven, but Levi, the buck stops at Levi. Levi can't go back to Reuven, the he matona, because Reuven gave them as a gift, so there's no achrayas, no guarantee in it. Dema Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yossi said, "Nei Rabbanan, ain't shibul the matona." There's no guarantee, no lien for a gift, so therefore, although Levi has to reimburse Yehuda, Reuven does not have to reimburse Levi. Okay? Next case. Now, this case, we have to change gears a little bit here. Reuven, the Shai Teresok brings down, change gears the name of the Rishonim. Reuven goes to Sada Mishimon. Reuven stole a field from Shimon. Okay? That's so far so good. Umechara Levi. And he sold it to Levi. Now, here we're missing obvious words. It's obviously we're missing words. It should say, and Shimon grabbed it back, right? It doesn't say that here. But what happened after Shimon grabbed back from Levi, which is obvious, Reuven bought it back from Shimon. Okay, they played round robin here, okay? So Reuven stole a field from Shimon, right? Reuven stole a field from Shimon and sold to Levi. And then Shimon take it back from Levi, and then Reuven bought it back from Shimon again.
Sure.
So do you have that clear?
This time he bought it instead of stolen.
Yeah, second time, exactly. Second time he bought it instead of stolen. Okay? So now, Levi did not have enough time, lichtov tirfa, to write a document grabbing, to grab the field back from Reuven, from Reuven, Achemes, until before Reuven died. So the truth is, let's take the case step by step. Really, this field, which Reuven first stole, then bought, should go to Levi as the Achrayas, right? Because Levi bought it from Reuven. The thing is, before they managed to get through the paperwork, Reuven died. So they didn't get through the paperwork. Can Levi now get it, or can he not get it at this point? Okay? So it says, Mar Demanu, who does it belong to? Rav Huna and Rechia Breid Rav. Rav Huna and Rechia Breid Rav said, had a machlokas. Chayan Rav said, in kas of shtar tirfo, if you manage to get the document under the wire, shall, it's obvious, nobody makes a change that I noticed, but it's obviously supposed to be shall Levi, not shall Reuven. If you wrote the document, you got through the paperwork, then obviously it belongs to Levi, because it's coming to him as a guarantee for it having been taken away from him earlier, right? If he didn't get through the paperwork, so tough luck. Then show Reuven. Then it belongs to Reuven, obviously Reuven's heirs, right? The Chorona Amar, the other one, said, it doesn't matter, you don't need the paperwork. He kasav, he lo kasav, whether you wrote it or whether you didn't write it, show Levi, he regardless belongs to Levi. It was paperwork, it was just paperwork, right? Red tape. But if you can't get through the red tape on time, even if Reuven upped and died, nevertheless, the field goes to Levi. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amrei Bona Ramona, send me Stabra da Ella, the law. Meaning, I don't like this, rather, only. The Reuven, that rather, it should belong to Reuven. The Yachal Meimar Lei, he can say to him, Mila de lo didi zabnis loch. Levi can say,
I
forgot what this means. 45. Oh, okay, he wants to say like this. He wants to say, look to the carbonator. He wants to say, again, Mustabra Dar Law, it says, it doesn't make sense what you say, but rather the opposite. Reuven Diachilom Ramemale, Reuven could say to him, Mila de lo ditiza milach, what I sold you begin with was not a valid sale. Right? Because obviously I stole it. So therefore, since I sold the beginning, it was not a valid sale, therefore you cannot come and take this field away from me. Now, he might require reimbursement, but he can't, money, cash, but not necessarily this field. So he cannot come and demand this field. Even if the paperwork is written, Ishtar Tirfa, the paperwork should not be written just specifically against this field. It's like any other case where we go after the guy, first try and collect cash, and we can't get cash, so then we go after whatever land is available. But Reuven or his heirs can say, this land is not automatically what you should get. Right? Because when I sold you the first time, it was not a valid sale. So therefore, it's true, I owe you money, but I don't necessarily owe you this parcel of land per se. Okay? I give you any other parcel of land I want. Okay? It says, Gemara... now going back to the opposite. Am Rabbi Yossi Rabun, Lo Mistabra Da, that doesn't make sense, Ella De Levi. No, on the contrary, it's Levi's. Why? It should be De Levi, Yochla Meimar Le. Levi can say to him, Hi, this is all supposed to be one word, it should be a hyphen here between the two lines. Hi, De Ukmach, Akum, Lizvine Tavas. This is what you sold to me. You sold to me in a good sale everything which will sustain this field in front of you, meaning that in any sale there's implicit that the seller is going to do all that he can to make sure that the sale is a valid sale. So even though theoretically the sale is null and void because it was stolen property, but since it did go through the motions of the sale, so therefore Levi can say, you undertook to validate the sale as much as possible. And therefore, if somehow or another you get this, you, Reuven, get this land back, then you have to give it to me. Okay. That's basically the end of the series of gifts issue. Ma'alik vos parnasa min meshubad. With machlokas, nobody. We didn't come to any resolution. The question was, who gets what? And the bottom line was that we say that. It's a machlok. The two-way machlokas, basically, three-way machlokas. Either it depends when if the document was written or not, the paperwork was handled. It doesn't depend if the paperwork was done. It belongs to Reuven regardless. Reuven and his heirs get to keep it regardless. It doesn't matter if the paperwork was done. Levi gets to get it regardless. Those are the three possibilities, and every possibility finds here somebody who advocates it. Okay? What is the halacha to collect parnasa minam shubadim? Parnasa is It's a funny thing to have here in the middle of Gittin. We did have it in Ksuvos, though. Mishubarim means the dowries for the orphans, the girl orphans. Can you collect them from property which is under lien, which has been was sold by the father or the brothers, actually, as we're going to see in Amud Beis? Can you go back and collect the money from there for the dowries of the sisters? Because the halacha is that the brothers have to provide a tenth of the estate per sister who gets married, right? So therefore, if they sold the property, can you go and collect the property back in order to provide the dowry for the daughter, unmarried daughters? So it says, it's machlokas, right? Rabbi Zir said, Rabbi Yochanan lo gavi, Rabbi Yochanan did not collect. Man gavi, who did collect? Rabbi Chanina of Rabbi Loi gavi. Chanina Rabbi Loi, they collected. Rabbi Yasa is paket madadi yasmin. Rabbi Yasa was left a sum of money which belonged to orphans. Vavatam and Bain Parnas, and there were girls who needed to dowry. Oil uvda kumi Rabbi Loza, so I brought the ish in front of Loza, for kumi Rabbi Shimon ben Yochim in front of Shimon ben Yochim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochim, so Shimon ben Yochim said, lo mutav shin sparnasu min shalaviyem, lo mishun tzlaka. Logic dictates, isn't it better for us to provide their dowry from the Yisoyim, whatever was left over from the Yisoyim, as opposed to going from to tzlaka, right? So therefore, we should take this stuff from whatever land was left to the assignment. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the Shiloh was, because I guess the Shiloh was that some of the property was Meshubat, ultimately, right? That in fact, some of the property already had been sold, because otherwise I don't understand what the issue is. So somehow, some of the property, because otherwise it's Takonat Rabbanon, that you take the dowry from the property left in the estate. So obviously the question was some of the estate already been sold off? Do you go to that property which is sold off when necessary in order to collect the tenth? So it says, Amar Le Rabbi Lazar said, now here the gears is messed up. It should be Dover She'ilu Yavo Lifnei Rabboseinu. Something which, if it came in front of our rabbis, it should be the two words missing here. Ve'ein Rabbi Sein Rogibo, they wouldn't touch this money. Because Parnasa doesn't actually come from property which is under Shibud, as we saw previously. Vanos Timaisim, we're going to collect it. So Rabbi Yasser says, Ona Yahiv. You know, the truth is, I see that actually now, the Carmen Aida, I think, learns that the issue is whether it's only from Metauflin or whether it's only from Karka or also from Metauflin. That was the issue. That was the issue. Not the Chasim Meshubarim, but rather the Isin Lechot, the tenth of the property from the estate. Does that come only from land or holdings or also from bank accounts? Because here he was left with a bank account of the assignment. So since the bank account of the assignment, the Shilas, does that also underlean for the tenth, or it's only the real estate? So that's what they said. Well, we should give it to his father's money. It should pay for marrying off his daughters, right? That was the logic here, right? So then we said, no, but the rabbis before us would never have taken from movable objects. They only have taken from land. So it says, I'm Rabbi Yasser. It says, Ana Yahiv, I'm going to give it for the dowry. If you come and you ask me, if the Yisomim rise up and complain, Ana Yahiv, Lona, I'll give it. I'll pay them back out of my own pocket. Afilu Kain, nevertheless, Chamun, the Yisomim saw what was happening, Vula Aruna did not complain, which obviously set precedent that you could take from their bank accounts. A Gezardin, and in fact, there was an interesting Psak Halacha. Zardin Nafak. It was a certain Psak Din which came out. Tzipor Basav Sholom. It's a girl's name. Tzir Nishlaim here says maybe it's supposed to be Tzipora, because they never found a girl's name Tzipor, right? Balak ben Tzipor was a man's name, son of a man's name. But here it's clearly a girl's name, so maybe it's supposed to be Tzipora. Tzipora Basav Sholom. But the Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Yaakov, Eidah, B'Shem, Rabbi Shimon, Barba, they all said, Ana Rabbi Sena, we and the rabbis, Gavinu Lomina, Metaltlin, we actually collected the dowry from the Metaltlin, from movable objects supposed to real estate, Kiminog Mekoyma, houses the Minog in her locality. Rav Havakosiv, an interesting historical episode here. Rav Havakosiv, Le Rebbe, Rav used to write for Rebbe. It should be the Koshari Torah still changes to Igrin. Okay? So he was writing to Rebbe a letter, said Avrun Igrin, Agaris, a letter, Al Dai Rebbe Chia Rabba, in the name of Rebbe Chia the Great. So Rebbe Chia had his nephew Rab write over a letter to send to Rebbe, who was there, both of theirs, you know, Rebbe Yonassi was the Rebbe of both of them, and we don't know the letter. I guess it was a regular letter. It was just, you know, how you doing, what's up. But Rabbi Yechia Kasi Ben Shita, Rabbi Yechia wrote between the lines the following halacha. Amdu Yisrael, the following query. Amdu Yisaimim Umachru. If the Yisaimim, or the following statement, I guess. If the Yisaimim got up and sold the property, right? And now we need to collect for the dowry. Govin min arpanos. So we collect from the chasim mishubadim from what they sold for the purpose of dowry. Ve'en govin mizanos. So if we don't collect from the chasim mishubadim for the purpose of sustaining the daughters, feeding them. Amdu v'shibdu. What if the yisoyimim didn't sell property, but they put the property as collateral on a loan? Hashibud has any of them. I don't know what the status of Shibud is. If Shibud is like free and clear, then you could use it to support the daughters in their mizonos. If Shibud, putting on the lien for collateral, is not like free and clear, then you can't use it for mizonos, just like you can't use it for mizonos. Because Shibud, from property which is truly sold, you can only collect for dowry. Property which is free and clear, you can also use for mizonos. This property, which has been designated as collateral, he says, I don't know what to do. And I guess he was expecting Rebbe to... Is this getting too early for you?
No, it's...
Okay, fine. The life's getting too complicated. You missed an interesting Gemara, though, so far, right? It was an interesting...
Missing? I'm here.
No, so far. So in any event, we learned Levi similar said a similar thing. If the father puts something on the lien, or the son puts something on the lien, the father sold property from the estate before he died, the son sold property from the estate after the father died, so we collect from that property for, which was sold for parnasa, for dowry, but not for food. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi said, not true. Leis kam b'shibud av, not if the father sold, el b'shibud aben, only if the son sold. Why is that? Because im b'shibud av, tell you about what stuff the father sold, that doesn't go to dowry. Dowry during the lifetime of the father is at the father's discretion. You can't go father in order to give a dowry. It's not just a discretion. It's only the funds he has at his disposal. In order to fight your daughter with a dowry, you can't go back to Lekuchos and say, customers, and say, okay, I need property back which I sold you in order to give my daughter a dowry, right? It's at the father's discretion and also only things which he has at his disposal. So therefore, the father sold property. The takana, the rabbanon of a dowry for Yisoymus doesn't allow us to go back and collect that property which the father sold. What it does allow us to go back and collect is the property which was sold by the children, because then already, at the point of death, that's when the takana d'rabbanan of a tenth of the property kicked in, and then all property sold subsequently is under prior lien to that takana d'rabbanan, right? In B'chai Avin Ogoven, it says, if during the life of the father you can't collect, Lokoshkein Lachem Yisrael's life, you certainly can't collect that stuff after the father's death. Rav Chum Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yosef Chinna said, "Nisu abonos." Now, what happens if the daughters get married and they take this their portion of the state with them? So the amon on the widow is still has the right to go to the daughters and ask them to support her. Because I had story about a case, obviously, where there's not enough by the boys, or the boys, there are no boys. She has the right to go to the daughters and say, okay, you girls support me. But now it's more than that. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ba, it should be Barbaray, Rabbi Ba, the grandson. For Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, Barbaray, the grandson, the Achse of the sister, Rabbi Yehuda, so these are two cousins. One was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda, and one was his sister's grandson. B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, they both said, Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Mesu! Even if these daughters who got the property of their father died, and the property now went to these daughters' husbands, the amona still gets from it. Because this property is under lien for this amona in order to provide it with either mizonos or ksuva. Even if it was inherited by daughters who then bequeathed it to their husbands, it's still under lien to the amona to get fed from them. However, b'nei bani mayin, what if the boys died and they left children? Do the grandchildren have to sustain their grandfather's amana? Right? There is no longer any children around. The second generation is gone. What about the grandchildren? Okay? So says the Gemara, right, Mara, my b'nei 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 k'b'nei. Grandchildren are like children. Rabbi, you know, usually that's it's a Gadic statement, but here it's a halachic statement. B'nei b'nei marein k'banim. They're required to cough up the dough. Rabbi Yossi Amar, em b'nei b'nei k'banim. They're not required to cough up the dough. Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun, Rabbi Matanya, Hava Yasmin, they were sitting. Sarim Meimah, they wanted to say, he b'nei b'nei shakan, he b'nei b'nei shalalon. Just like b'nei b'nei all over, inherit, right? They get the inheritance that's passed down to them. So here they're required to feed the widow, right? Armelun Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yossi said, no. B'nei Bonim, Kofta Leini Rushas Torah. This is actually a quite nice explanation of B'nei Moshe. He said, which I assume is the Pasha explanation. He says that the children have their own debt vis-a-vis the Amona, or vis-a-vis their sisters, and that since that's a debt they have to give from B'nai Beinonis and without a Shvua, because that's halacha. It's a debt which the Chazal placed upon them. The grandchildren, it's not a debt upon them. They are like any other heirs. Yes, it's true. But heirs only have to pay from Ziburis, from the lowest grade, and also only after an oath, only after a Shvua. So therefore, in this case over here, it's true the grandchildren have to sustain the Amara, but with much tighter restrictions than the children. The children have to give Beinonis like a Baal Chov, except for Mizonos, not for Ksuva. Ksuva Sisho is Biziburis. But for Mizonos, they have to give from the Beinonis and without a Shvua. The grandchildren only have to give Ziburis and only with a Shvua. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Now all these things, as far as I recall, are mostly not in the Bavli, although this one here, it says on the side that it is in the Bavli, but it's I don't remember it. Talmati, we learned over there. This I think I do remember, actually. Talmati, Manal Abba Biyotcha. We learned over there, Reuven says to Shimon, listen, your father owes me $100. Ein lo biyadi el chamishim dinarim. So the other guy responds. She responds, "No, I only owe your father $50, not $100. Potter is exempt. Why is that moedim miktsas? Neishu kamesh vaveda, because he's as likely to moedim miktsas means somebody who concedes half a debt. And moedim miktsas the raisa has to take an oath, right? Shvua. So what? No, it doesn't have a migo, right? The reason is because, well, let me explain in a minute. But if you come on and say my father loaned you $100 and you concede 50, then you do have to take a shvua. What's the difference? You don't have to take a shvua. Sorry. What's the difference? Yeah, because the case with halacha is that if I come to you and I claim for you $100 and you only concede 50, we say really you owe the whole $100. Why are you only conceding 50? Because ain't no domei is part of nechobal chovo. You're embarrassed to deny the whole thing, so therefore you're only admitting half of it, but you really owe the whole thing, and therefore you have to take a shvua if you want to get out of paying the whole thing. However, but if I'm not the actual creditor, but I'm saying my father's your creditor, then in that case we say oh the may is part of nay ben. A person is brazen vis-a-vis the son of his creditor. So really, you could have denied the entire thing. Psychologically, you would have denied the entire thing. So the fact that you didn't deny it is amigo, right. But it's like Meshav Veda saying, I could have denied the whole thing. Since I didn't deny the whole thing, you have to believe me that I only owe 50 and not 100. Right. So we don't say that amigo where the creditor himself makes the demand. Because then we say the reason why it's no amigo is just not brazen enough to deny the whole thing. But here we say that there is such amigo. That's right. All right, Lezer says, it's not, it's a kona tik.
Because you can say that by any mode of a mixed-ass,
yeah,
he could always been a kofer b'chol.
But you could have said that, but we say ain't the maze point of nebal chova.
But that's a drabbanan kind of thing.
No, it's the raisa.
Ain't on a maze.
Yeah. That's Rabba's reason, or Rava's reason, I forget whose, for one of the two, for why the Torah said, Moedim and Mikzah Shushava. Yeah. That's Marim Bar Metzia. Really want to deny everything, but Eino Dameis Barim Nebar Chovo. And he can't pay the whole thing, so therefore he's going to just concede half of it. That's what Mar says there. So in Amen, so says Mar, but Rabbi Lezo said Takana Tiknu Bo Kederu Shetiknu Metzia. It's a Takana, really Midaraisa. You should make the Shvuah because it is more than a Mixas. You're conceding half alone, but they made a Takana here just like they made such a Takana by a Metzia. What's the Takana Metzia? The Tatnina, we learn Hamoitzi Metzia. Somebody who finds a Metzia Lo Yishava does not take an oath. Minei Tikkun Olam because of the rectification of the world. Because if you make them take Shvuahs, nobody's ever going to return Metzias. Amrei Bo Rei Mona. The Rei Bo said. Now, this is a little bit complicated with the Gersos here. Amrei Bo Masnisa. That which somebody finds a Metzia doesn't have to take a Shvuah. Is Bishamar Lo Shnei Shvar Matzosali. The loser says you found two oxen of mine, and the other guy says it's missing here, but should say the other guy says I only found one. So in that case, we say eyes might have mixed us. The guy says you found two. He says I only found one. If Nati could oil them, the people should return things that they find. So therefore, we said we let him off to a good Avol, however, im amay lo shnei shvar matzasi l'cha. If the finder says I found two oxen, v'chzayti l'cha, I return for you. Switch the next line with this line, v'chzayti l'cha echad mehem, and I return to you one of them. V'omer, and the loser says l'chzayti es, it should be eshneim. You didn't give back to me either one of them. So here the guy says I gave you back one already. The other guy says you didn't give me back either of them, right? Everybody agrees he found two. Just he claims he gave one back, and the other guy says, no, you didn't. So in that case, lo bezetiknu. In this case, they didn't let the guy off the hook. They didn't let the guy off the hook in this case, because here, you know, he should have returned both at once. You know, here, it's not such so gefährlich to require him to take a shvuah. It's a rare case, because most times, a person returns a metzia, returns the entire metzia at once. So therefore, in a case where there's potential for fraud, in this case, we retain the possibility of shvuah. Right, that's one opinion. But Rabbi Pedos, B'Shem Rayon said, no, B'Zeh Tikkun, also in this case, they made a takana, no shvuah necessary, because also Tikkun Olam. If you give people a hassle about how they're giving back a metzia, so they're not going to give metzias back. Avo B'Rishoyna, and that's the kind of Abari Shoina. But in the first case, where the guy says, I lost two, and he says, I only found one, right? So in that case, Dvar Torah, Midaraisa's no motive in Mixas in that case. It's not just the Rabbanah, because of Tikkun Olam, that there's no Shvuah, but even Minatora does not. How so? Yochel, in a case, it could be in a case where Amalo Shnei Shvar Matzosali. The guy, the loser says, you found two oxen of mine. Vurmei says, Lo Matzosiela Echot. I only found one ox. Yochi Echayev, in that case, we say he's liable. Talmud Lomar, no. We say the only time he's liable is Amotza Aveda, when he found an Aveda, the Kikesh Bar, and denied that he found it. Prat Lezesh Lokiche, sure, he didn't deny he found an Aveda, didn't deny he found something. He says, I found less than you say I found. So it's a different parameter than Moedim Mixas. By Moedim Mixas, the fact that he conceded half of the loan, not the entire loan, is the cause for the Shvuah. If it was koifer alcohol, if he denied everything, he would be exempt from shvuah. By Metzia, it's the exact opposite. If you deny the entire thing, then you take a shvuah. Right? V'kicheshbo. If you only deny part of it, then you don't have to take a shvuah. Okay? Well, then that's from the Torah itself. The Torah itself says that there's such a distinction between Moedim and Mixas and Motzei Metzia. Then there are other times when Moedim Metzia doesn't take a shvuah, not because of the Daraisa, but because of Tikkun Olam, right? Avo Imar Melo, which is a case where he said, he could see that I found two and I gave you back one. So then that's already, in that case, he says, I found two and I gave you back one. So in that case, really, he should take a shvuah. Why? Because that's not on the Metzia already. That's on the giving back, and that might be considered to be Moedim and Mixas, right? Because he agrees that he found two. He concedes that point. The question is how many he actually gave back. So then maybe there should be a Shvuah Daraisa, not because of the Metzia, but because of Moedim and Mixas. And now we say, Nei Tikkun Olam, we exempt the guy. What's the case where you don't exempt the guy from a Shvuah? Okay, or even the Rabbanon. So that's the case. Avim Amarlov, he said, Oimeda Yisi. Barosh Gagi, the loser says, I was standing on the top of my roof. And I saw you pulling two oxen tied together, or same idea, shnei shvarim k'shurim mashachtali, two tied oxen you draw it away from me. He says I only pulled one away. We hear they didn't make a takona that he can get off though, because this is more like theft than like mitzia. Right. So therefore, in this case, we don't let him get off the hook.
I don't understand the Gemara's distinction between saying that I lost, you lost, and I found only one, or that you lost, I found two, but gave you back one. I know that this is things around so much.
Right, where
it's the same process.
The Shvur Daraisa is one of two situations. What I'm saying, either where I denied having found something, and there's indications that I did find it, denied it altogether. If I admitted that I found something, but not all you claim I found, then I don't have to take a shvur d'oraisa. So only where I denied finding something altogether do I have to take a shvur. Again, if they're in the case that I did find. There's another case where we all agree on what I found, but we're disagreeing about how much I gave back. In that case, the question is, there really it's a case of moedim and miktsas, because already it's not about the act of finding, but about the act of returning. So it should be similar to a loan, and just like any other moedim and miktsas, one should be liable to take a shvur in that case. The reason why there's one opinion here that we let him off the hook is in order that if we make too cumbersome even the procedure of giving back the mitzvah, so then nobody's going to want to give back mitzvahs that they find. That's the approach. Yes.
I'm turning off.
Okay, why are you writing all over your face?
Okay. Don't know.
You don't know? Okay. So, blue chicken pox, right? Interesting. Okay. So, says the Gemara, with the Kavosa, a similar case to one we had before. Oymer Eisiel Abba B'shas Misoso. If a person, instead of saying, you owe my father $100, he says, I was there at the time he was dying. And he could complete claim for you $100 about Desalo, and you conceded to him. And he said, I only conceded $50. In this case, he doesn't get off the hook. Why in this case he's not a get off the hook? Because in this case, it's not a Meshav Aveda, because the son says he was there. So actually, his being there gives him the status of a creditor, in that we will go through there then what we say by anyone who makes us say, it's not a Meshav Aveda, he's not doing a favor by conceding anything, because the son claims to have direct knowledge of it. So therefore, in this case, he's like a regular, makes us like a regular guy who concedes he owns part of a loan, and he has to actually pay. Okay? Now, or take a shvur. Okay. Next Mishnah. Halacha Dal. Now, most of Halacha Dal is in the Bavli, unlike Halacha Gimel. Yisoyim Shosomcha Eitzo Baal Bais. Yisoyim who were put into foster care by a Baal Bais. Oshmilem Avim Apotropos, or before they died, the father appointed them for Apotropos. Chayev La'aser Persen, the Apotropos has got to take Meiser off their fruit. Apotropos Shemino Avi Yisoyim Yishava, and Apotropos was appointed by the father. He has to take a shvur that he's doing his job trustworthily. Shenul basin is appointed by basin Yeshua, he does not take a shvur. Abishol says the exact opposite. The one who's appointed by basin does have to take a shvur. The one who's appointed by the father does not. The Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas. Says Gemara, one second. What do you say? Apotropos has to take a shvur as a maaser. It says, Atem, you, probably shooting, that precludes partners. So from this we should deduce that partners can't take truma off one another. Atem pravla apotropos also precludes an apotropos taking truma. Atem pravla term shedo shalo. And atem should also preclude taking truma which is not yours, right? The same idea. All these things should be the same, the same principle. So here too, how can the apotropos take of truma? Says Mar, well, look. Atem pravla shutvim, it's which includes partners taking truma off of each other. How can you say this? But then we learn how shutvim should tarmu. So the discussion is after truma is about shutvim taking truma off each other. So maybe you say el kam b'truma gedol kam b'truma smaiser. Maybe you say it says atem only you yourselves by truma smaiser. That there the guy himself is taking up by truma gedol. Maybe one guy take off for the other, and that's what it's talking about. It says the shutvim take truma off of each other. So it says the mara can't be. Because whom lamdu truma gedolah lamdu trumas meiser, though we extrapolate all things from one type of truma to each other, so therefore whatever parameters apply by one apply for the other. Ella, so rather, says the Gemara, kan lalocha, kan lamaisa. In terms of halacha, theoretically, shutfim can take off from each other. In practice, we don't want shutfim to take off from each other. So, no, the opposite. One second.
More
physical. That's why you have a mesh and they sold attach. I see. Okay, I miscarminated before. Carminated says it's not what halacha l'maisa usually mean. He says that before the deed, you shouldn't do it because it's preferable not to, right? So after the deed, we assume it works because we assume that the guy would have been acquiescent. But before the deed, we ask you please to refrain from taking truma off the shutfim. So be that as it may, lemaisa, we see here, just like atem preclude shutfim, atem should also preclude apotropos, right? So if that's the case, the Gemara asks the question, what about our Mishnah, right? Says the Gemara, but atem brought apotropos. You said atem precludes apotropos. So tiny, we learn our Mishnah. Yisrael Mishnah, some chetz abayis. Yisrael Mishnah living under foster care, or shemila ma vien apotropos, or the father designated for them apotropos. Chayev laser apotropos. The apotropos says take meiser off their fruit. So says the Gemara. Chevraya amru. The Chevraya said kan apotropin yolam, kan apotropin l'shar. It depends if they're permanent apotropin or temporary apotropin. A permanent apotropos, he's got to take off trumas and meiser, otherwise his charges won't be able to eat. Right? A guy is a temporary apotropos for one specific task. In that case, he can't take off trumas and meisers. Right? So therefore, we say the apotropos la'olam can. Now, the truth is, if you're precluded from a pasuk of atem, I really didn't think about this when I was preparing. If it's precluded from a pasuk of atem, we call it to be the rights, and the apotropos should be barred from doing it no matter what. So we have to say that it's like zochen l'anim shlo b'fanov. Since it's a long-term prospect, and they won't have any other food to eat, so then in that case, even though theoretically they shouldn't be allowed to do it, in practice we do allow them to do it because we say it's like a schus for the assignment. It's like clear to us that they would agree to do it if they had the capacity to agree. That's what you have to say. So says the Gemara further. Rabbi Yossi boy. Rabbi Yossi asks, Im apotropin yoylam, if they're talking about a permanent apotropos, so in that case, what do you do with the Braisa which says that about this Mishnah, V'dod detane, Moicher who avodim avlo karkos. It says that this apotropos can only sell slaves, but not real estate. And if he's a permanent apotropos, why can't he even sell real estate? Ella rather says more can be awesome goro, can be awesome cotton. Where the apotropos can take trumas and meisers when the orphan in his care is an adult because he can become a shliach. The apotropos cannot take trumas and meisers when the orphan in his care is a cotton because the orphan in his care is cotton, so therefore the cotton cannot convince any das. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochanan said, B'tchila, initially, aim amidim apotropos yisayim milchoyflem. And he designated apotropos to take on themselves certain tasks of being in charge of the assignment's property. It's only for their benefit. V'imchavu chavu. If, however, in the course of doing something beneficial, they cause damage, right, they cause a loss. Okay, those are the breaks. They cause the loss, and the assignment have to, so to speak, you know, suffer the loss. Because we try, you know, okay, we try to do something good. But it didn't work out exactly what we anticipated, they have to suffer the loss. That's the gamble we take. Rabbi Yosefkin argues, he says, Ben b'tchil, ben b'sof. No matter what the case is, whether it's l'chadchil or b'diyevet, eim amidim lohem, we do not give them an apotropos, ben b'tchil, ben l'shus, ben l'chova, whether it's for their merit or for their demerit. No apotropos for no purpose, anytime. So the Chor argues by Mishnah, right? Says the Gemara, Masis al Tigre Ayus al Chanina. Harmish Ayus al Chanina. It says, Ma'amidin lem apotropos. It says, Harmish Yidukim apotropos. How could Rabbi Ayus al Chanina say there's no apotropos? So it says, Mar, you know what? Our Mishnah Kointim is a very limited Mishnah. Shani Oyi, this is talking about a specific case. B'shor Shlo Yelch B'yazik. We're talking about where the Yisoyim have oxen. So the apotropos here is specific. Literal sense of guardian. A specific case of guard, specifically, it doesn't need to be guardian, but what does guardian mean? To guard the oxen not go and damage. Okay, that's what it's for. Says the Gemara, Hazik. Well, okay, so in that case, what happens if the oxen do damage? Right? Let's say so the ox gets out. Mishalmi Mishalmin, who pays? Rabbi Yochanan Mar Mishal Yisoyim. Rabbi Yochanan says the orphans pay. It's for their detriment. But as you said, whenever you appoint a apotropos, even though initially it's for benefit, if a deficit arises from it, the Yisoyim have to accept that deficit upon themselves. So here too, they pay, the Yisoyim's property pays for the damage wrought by their ox, right?
Now these are minor Yisoyim. Minor
Yisoyim.
Responsible for
sure, what?
How could they be responsible? That's what the apotropos is appointed. To take the responsibility.
That's exactly what we're grappling with. Does he in fact take that responsibility? Gemara's not clear about that. So that's what Gemara's saying. Yeah, this might not be in the. This Ma'akolos Rabbi Yochum Rabbi Yosef Berchina might not be in the Bavli. Oh, you're right. It probably isn't.
As
a catch-all. Yeah. Right. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Shall you serve me? Yes, in Bechanina, maybe shall apotropos. Apotropos has to pay. But if you do, the law is by Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, even if Rabbi Yochanan didn't explicitly hold this way, Leis Mil say Amra Kain. Do not his words indicate this?" Because Lo Hu Amar Lo Sof Im Chavu Chavu, isn't he the one who said in the end if they have a deficit, then the deficit is suffered by the Yisoyim's property. So that's why even Rabbi Yochanan not say explicitly that the ox gets paid from their property as opposed to apotropos. We can learn it out. We can deduce that. But Rabbi Yochanan said if there is a loss, they have to suffer the loss. We're getting there. Apotropos. Now here, this is the Bavli. I need a drink. Now this next machlok is in the Bavli. I think you're right. The machlok is for Yochanan Yisachin is not, but this is the just explanation of our Mishnah. Says Amar, apotropos. Apotropos shemino avias soimi mishava. The reason why the Tanakama holds an apotropos who's appointed by the father soimi takes mishua sheein darkol livchan, because when a father appoints apotropos, he usually doesn't check him out whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. He just gives it to a friend of the family, right? So therefore, he has to take an oath. Whereas Shemino Basin, Lishava, the born appointed Basin is not taking Shua. Shadarko leave Khan, because Basin checks out the guy before they appoint him to find a trustworthy fellow. Avashol Merchil Hadvarim Shava says the exact opposite. Apotropos Shemino Avisom, Apotropos appointed by the father of the orphans. Lishava doesn't have to take Shua, Mne Diochel, Me Marle, because he can say, Tavusavin Avidiloch. I did you a favor, you're going to make me take a Shua? Chutzpah. Shemino Basin Shava, because one is appointed by Basin, it doesn't take a Shua. Who can say schar? Because he's like a paid watchman. Why is that? Because he gets all sorts of honor that he is considered to be a trustworthy individual by based in. Intangible, but benefits nonetheless. Yes.
I need help washing hands.
You need help washing hands? Did you go to the bathroom? Okay. One second. As did the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbanan. So it seems that Yochanan goes like Rabbanan, because Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yosef Chinah Kavashol, Yosef Chinah seems to go like Kavashol, because Rabbi Yochanan says you have to pay from the Yisoyim, right? The Yisoyim ultimately can lose, right? So that seems to be like Rabbanan, who say that when Basin appointed him, he doesn't take an oath because he's just doing a favor to Basin. If he calls to take an oath, he's going to refuse to keep take the apotropos on himself, right? So too, if you're going to say the apotropos, so just like Rabbi Yochanan said, we don't make the apotropos suffer the loss, First, we're not going to make the Apotropos take a shvua, right? That's logic. We're not going to make Apotropos, right? You don't want the Apotropos to have lost because you won't do it. So, too, we're not going to make the Apotropos take a shvua because then he won't do it. Rabbi Yitzchina, on the other hand, who owes the Apotropos, that the same. No, the opposite. No, wait, no. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Rabbi Yitzchina owes the same. The Apotropos never suffers the loss, right? So therefore, we would never force an Apotropos to take a shvua, right? What?
There's no point there.
No, that would be a reason to take a shvua. So of course, you should take the shvua.
And it wasn't his
responsibility. But we don't make the shvua because obviously we do everything we can to convince an Apotropos to become an Apotropos, right? That seems to be like Rabbanan, who say that the one who's appointed by based in Layishava, because we need to persuade him to become an Apotropos. So we let him off the hook for payments, and we let him off the hook for Shvua as well. No, that's Abishol. Abishol says that the honor, the prestige involved, is worthwhile. So he would say, that's a great Yisachanino. Yosechina says, "No, we're not concerned with that because he's willing to do it because the honor and prestige. You're not going to have to put your foot on the table. He's willing to do it because of the honor and prestige which is involved, right? So just like he's willing to do it because of the honor and prestige and suffer a loss, certainly willing to do it for the honor and prestige and be required to take a shvuah. That's logic." So it's interesting, you know, I want to just focus on this a little bit more. Abishol holds that the Apotropos is like an orev. You know, an orev becomes a guarantor on a loan because of the hanah which he has that he's being trusted by all the parties involved. Obviously, old days, this was considered to be a major achievement, that you're considered to be such a trustworthy guy. So therefore, that's enough for him to become a shubat. Even though he might suffer a loss as a result, he might have to pay a loan. Same thing here, that's Abishol's learning, right? Even though he might suffer a loss, even though the Apotropos might suffer the loss, he's willing to do it in order to be trust, because he has the shame of a trustworthy individual. And so it is willing to undertake a shvua in order to have the same name of a trustworthy individual. Says by that's all that's not necessarily true. Says by the Rabbi Yochanan Rabban, yes, it could be Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbanan. But if he was brought to Abishol, he could even like Abishol. Now here the Shai Tarsel changes around the gears significantly. What it says here, he plugs in later on. What it says later on, he plugs in over here, but slightly differently. If you take a look to the last couple lines before the Mishnah, the line ends, Adam Mavriach Atzmo Min HaShvua. You see that? So the way changes Shvua and Tashlumin and puts it over here. And he says, it should be Adam Mavriach Atzmo Min HaTashlumin. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan can say, we can't make the Apotropos pay because of the Spindel principle. People who must pay will not become Apotropsim. But people want to undergo a Shvuas in order to become Apotropsim. Shvuas are cheap, right? So therefore, it could be he was like Abishol that really we do force the Apotropos to take a Shvuah, right? He's going to refuse? No, he's only going to refuse if he has to pay. He's not going to refuse just on the basis of having to take a Shvuah. That's how Rabbi Yochanan can explain it. And Rabbi Yosef Hanina could say like Abishol. We said it's like Abishol. I feel this work. Rabbanan, give me a look, Rabbanan. And here we plug in what it says on top. Boyu Barnach Meitan Meheman. A person wants to be called credible. Or Mekari. I'm sorry. Boyu Barnach. It should be instead of Meitan Meheman. It should be Boyu Barnach Meitan Meheman. It should be Boyu Barnach Meitan Kama. A person willing to pay and be called trustworthy. That would make Rabbi Yisrael go even like Rabbanan. Was Rabbi Yisrael go like Rabbanan that in fact the Apotropos appointed by Beis Din does not take a shvua, right? Only Apotropos appointed by the assignment. If that's the case, why do we make that Apotropos pay? Right? According to Abishol, the Apotropos, who's appointed by. One second.
Sorry, I don't know people.
I got mixed up, sorry. Zav Shotz Rabbanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Yechonalik Rabbanan. Rabbi Yitzchak who says that if the guy is willing to pay, right, in order to be an apotropos, in order to be considered trustworthy, what he's not willing to do is necessarily take a shvua. Because he says, look, the reason why I'm willing to take to be an apotropos is because it's good for me to be called trustworthy. I'll be able to make money elsewhere if I'm known as a trustworthy person. So I'm willing to take the risk. Like Rabbi Yitzchak says, if something goes wrong, it's my loss, not the Yisraelim's loss. But if you make me take shvuas, then by definition it means you don't trust me. Because otherwise, why would you make me take a shvua? So the whole advantage of me being an apotropos is out the window. So therefore, I'm not going to become an apotropos under the circumstances. I'm willing to pay to be an apotropos because that gives me credibility as trustworthy, but I'm not willing to have to take a shvua because then there's no trustworthiness. Rather, you're indicating that I'm not trustworthy. You can only be trusted if I throw in a shvua besides. So again, initially we wanted to say Rabbi Yochanan goes specifically like Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan are the ones who say that that we don't make the apotropos no based in take a shvua. And in order to give him an incentive, and just like we don't, just like Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbanan said we don't make the apotropos take a shvua. Just like Rabbi Yochanan said, we don't make the apotropos pay. Right, that's what we wanted to say. Is the same shita that we said. No, Rabbi Yochanan keeping going like Abba Shol. Rabbi Yochanan holds that we don't make the apotropos pay because he won't do it if he has to pay money. But we can make the apotropos take a shvua because people are more willing to make shvuas than to part with their precious money. Then we said, Rabbi Yitzchak says, the apotropos never pays, must be going like Abba Shol, right? Who says that Abba Shol says that the Rabbi Yisrael says the Simon never paid.
Not paying and taking a shvua.
Yeah, I know that's how that's what the Mara said, right? So Abba Shol says, Abba Shol says that appointed by Beis Din, takes a shvua like a shomer sachar. Whereas Rabbanan say, appointed by Beis Din, no shvua, because he's doing us a favor. Okay? Now we need to know, we're not talking about right now the apotropos appointed by the father. Let's leave that out of this, okay? So Rabbi Chanina says the apotropos always pays. Okay? Never the assumption in the case of damage or loss, right? Rabbi Yechanan says the Yisraelim do pay. If we take an apotropos for the benefit of the Yisraelim, but the end of the Yisraelim do suffer loss, the Yisraelim do pay. Okay, the Yisraelim do pay. Okay, now you take a look here at this table. We wanted to link Abba Shalom, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. We wanted to say that it's just like Abba Shol says. If you're appointed by Beis Din, there's a shvua because you're like a shomer sachar. right? So it means we're not trying to do the apotropos any favors. We don't need to provide him any incentives. So that would be in line with Rabbi Yisachin, says the apotropos always pays, right? I go together. Whereas Rabbanan, they're looking for incentives. So they say, well, you know what? If you're appointed by Beis, you never have to take a shul because do us a favor. That would be like Rabbi Yochanan, who says, as an incentive to apotropos, if there is a loss, you still need to pay. But then what the Gemara, though, says is that it can work the other way as well. We can say that we can, instead of going together, we can actually cross them. Let's say Rabbi Yochanan can hold like Abba Shaul too. How so? Because Rabbi Yochanan says Yisoymim have to pay if there's a loss, because people are always concerned with their bottom lines, right? They don't want to lose money. But we can still make the apotropos take shvuas, because, you know, a person is willing to part with a shvua closer, sooner than he's willing to part with his money. So therefore, the shvua he might have to take, even though money he won't have to pay. I would also say that Rabbi Yosef Chanina is going like Rabbanan. We could say, Rabbi Yosef Chanina said, an apotropos always pays, and Rabbanan seem to want to do favors to the guy to get him out of paying. So in that, Rabbi Yosef Chanina says, the reason why apotropos pays is because he's paying for the reputation being trustworthy. That's worth money to him. Right? That's what he's paying. But if you're making him take a shvua, then he has no trustworthiness. So the whole incentive for him to be an apotropos is out the window. So therefore, as long as we're assuring that he gets trustworthiness, he'll pay for that. But we're saying he has to take a shvua, then what's his incentive? And nobody will become an apotropos. So it's not just Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Sechanina, and Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan Link, but they can be cross-linked as well. Okay? Hametami v'hamedameh v'hamenasech. The new issue. So Hezek Shein or Nikar. Hezek, which is not recognizable, brings us to one of Shabbos favorite topics. Hametame, somebody who's metame another person's food, so nobody can tell that it's damaged. Hametame, you mix truma into his chulin, nobody can tell that he can't eat anymore. Nasik, you libate his wife to vote a sword, nobody can tell that it's osir. Im shoyge, if the guy was unintentional part, he's exempt. Im mezid, it's intentional chayef. Akonim shepiglu ba mikdash. Kohanim committed pigul in the Beis HaMikdash, Mezidim, they did it intentionally, Chayovin, they're liable. Rabbi Yudah lo nachas the Beis Vader. Rabbi Yudah one day didn't go to the Beis Medrash. Kaim Rabbi Mana, so he found, well, he met up with Rabbi Mana. Amar Elay, he said, Machat Yemer, what new thing did they say today? Amar Elay, so he said, I'll tell you, Kanam Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi said, Hametame ena koisa maisa. Somebody who makes something tame, it's not like he did a deed. And therefore, it doesn't pay. Min hadov, from where do we know this? From truma shenitmes. It's the case where somebody stole truma, and then it became tame. He gives it back to the kohen. Says, "Haresha chol fanecha. Here's your truma as I took it from you. Ah, he can't eat anymore because it became tame. That's spiritual deficit. Spiritual deficits don't count." Says the Gemara Amalei. So he said, "Who says?" Tipater, Shanit Beis Mila, it's only a case where it became Tomei its own, but not where the Ghana made it Tomei. Belez, Shmami no Klum, you can't derive anything from that case. Says more, okay, fine. Sure, let's try this case. The Yimas Dis, let's try to find Bryce. Donis Adin. If a judge judges a case, and he judges erroneously, Zikos Azak Chayb, he says the person who was liable was merit. It was liable. Was really meritorious. Chayav v'chiv zake. Person was really meritorious. He said it was liable. Timei sator. He said something which is tome is tor. Vatir is a tome. Or he said that which is tome is tor. So in that case, it says here that he's liable. Let's make restitution. So here it's not. He didn't do anything. There was no ma'isa. So it says, "No, there's also ma'isa." D'mar Rabbi Yirmishem Rabba Magil Biyod Liyado. It's where when you declare that stuff tamei, you threw sheretz on it in order to prove that it's tamei, right? And Shmuel Amar Magil Liyado, and that's why it's no good. Okay, now the next line is going actually to cut and paste here a little bit from me later on. Well, the next we should have here a header. Should be Hametamei Amdeh Manasech. If it's unintentional, you're potter. If it's intentional, you're chayim. This is also in the Bible as well. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, the proper will be afilu shogeg sheyeh chayim. Even if you metame medame menase made somebody else's stuff tame, made it mixed with truma, and made it avodah zora, you should be potter. No, you should be chayim even b'shogeg. Right, because he holds Hezek, Shein, and Nikar, Shmei Hezek. Hezek, which is not recognizable, is a form of Hezek. Lomer mu potter. Why do they say that he's potter? Kidei sheyem modia. It's what is the
Roman emperors.
Oh, that's the type of thing you'd be very interested in.
I'm sure. It's a man.
So, Lomer mu potter. Why do they say that he's potter? In order that he should do at least tell the guy, you know, I made your stuff tome, I made it medumai may it was menasichet, in order they shouldn't transgress the aveira of eating the stuff, right? Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. He says hezek shenikar lav shmeizik, and b'dinei yoshafilu memezid unrecognizable hezek, religious damage, not damage. B'dinei yoshafilu memezid apotir, really even if he didn't intentionally, he should be exempt. But lo amru chayv, why they say he's liable? Mishum knas. So knas is fine. The Purur Rabbi Yochanan from here, and skip the next three lines, part of it we plugged in before, and the rest of it is superfluous. Just go to Anoisin, at the end of the third line coming, you see that? Anoisin is a riot, Rabbi Yochanan says. Anoisin, oh, Gabi Paros, if you put a yoke on your friend's paraduma, potter medini adam, you're potter from human payment, chayv dini shamayim, and only liable in the hands of heaven to make him some restitution. So we see here explicitly that Hezek Shener Nikar Lav Shmei Hezek. Here in our Mishnah, where he did it b'mezid, we give a knas. There by the Paraduma wasn't b'mezid, therefore there's no knas. But we see that the Ikar Adin, Hezek Shener Nikar Lav Shmei Hezek, it's not a sign which you can file a suit for in a human court. And we'll stop here for today. It's not.